1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 15th of February, Anno Domini 2009, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Alex Vanderwill.
And at 7 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff you can lose, things to choose. I hope your Valentine's Day was phenomenal. The marvelous Alex Vanderwill brought in some cookies. They're heart-shaped and have little words on them, just like they were those little sweetheart candies. They're wonderful, and they're very tasty, by the way.
Speaking of words, can I make an interjection? There was a comment I made last week about eggplants, and I want to explain because some folks took exception to this. Arms like an eggplant refers to muscular biceps.
Right.
Nothing more than that. It was the painting of a caricature. Was all it was.
Yeah.
You're backpedaling very well. You know that.
That 400-pound backpack.
You're still
with one
not going to get out of that lady's.
You have learned that there is nothing you can say on this show that won't offend somebody.
Right.
So the real question is, you just have to learn to offend
the right people.
The right people.
Apparently.
Where are you originally from, Chris? That must be a slogan there because we've never heard of it here.
It's been on George Carlin albums since the 70s.
Oh, there you go.
I certainly know my mother has never heard that phrase before. Because I was in there after the show, and my mother calls me and is like, eggplants for arms.
It was innocuous. Nothing suggestive about it. Actually, the original quote, I can't say on the air.
Right.
Look up George Carlin records.
Right. All righty, we'll just pass that by and we'll talk about something else that'll insult a lot of people. Microsoft plans to open its own retail stores to, and I quote, transform the PC and Microsoft buying experience. The company said on Wednesday as it hired an executive to run the retail operation. The stores will help Microsoft engage more deeply with customers and learn firsthand about what they want to buy and how, according to a Microsoft statement. Deciding where the stores will be located and what they'll look like will be the first order of business for David Porter, who they hired away from DreamWorks, by the way. He's the new corporate vice president of retail stores. Microsoft has long been perceived as lagging behind rival Apple in appealing directly to consumers, and Apple has a head start of several years in running a chain of stores. While Microsoft makes its own Xbox game terminals, Zune media players, and some other devices, it doesn't have a branded PC product of its own like Apple's Macintosh. Now, they do have mice and keyboards and things like that, but that's about it. In December, Apple neared 10% of PC sales, while Windows lost a full percentage point of share for the second month in a row. With the retail strategy, Microsoft said it hopes to articulate and demonstrate its innovative and value proposition. It will pass on lessons it learned from the stores to its retail and OEM partners. So our poll this week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Microsoft retail stores. And the choices are, I can't wait. Nice idea, but Apple did it first. I'll give it a try, and yeah, right.
And I want to know next, how soon the line will go up in Vegas on their close date.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, are they going to sell every brand of PC with Windows on it, or are they just going to have boxes of Windows there?
They don't have any idea yet. Yeah. It's just a concept. Apple's got a store. We have to have a store. It's like Apple has a windowed interface. We have to have a windowed interface. Apple has a music player. We have to have a music player.
So this is them running it up the flagpole.
Yeah.
Oh, no, another
and seeing
another
if anyone douses it in gasoline,
yes,
and sets it on fire.
They're probably only going to hit the key cities. I'll bet you it's going to be like New York City, Chicago, L.A., probably Houston, Miami.
I'd suspect Seattle.
Beijing. They should open one in Beijing.
Apple just did a huge, huge one.
Well, they've already
Beijing.
Got them there, but they're just selling illegal copies.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Macworld Magazine did a story, 10 Ways the Microsoft Store Will Differ from Apple Store. We were talking about this before the show. There'll be six entrances, Starter, Basic, Premium, Professional, Enterprise, and Ultimate. And for no apparent reason, there's a $100 surcharge to go into the Ultimate door.
Yep.
Instead of a Genius Bar, Like Apple does, they'll have an excuse bar.
I like that one.
Yeah, the UAA team will be running around saying, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure?
Chris and I were talking about the Linux store. We'll be opening a Linux store. We give everything away. Yeah, just walk in here, take it. Take it.
We like the way you look.
You can pay for it if you'd like to, but just take it. It's okay.
A coffee can at the door.
And somebody comes in, somebody just stole something. No, they didn't. Actually, no, not at all. All right, so far we've got 74 votes in the poll, and so far, is leading. So check us out at the poll at soundbites.org. When you're done taking the poll, of course, I know you've got something to say about this one. So if you click on the little yellow box underneath it, there's a link that says, give us your opinion. That takes you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Well done. Very nice. And so far, 13 people have made comments, and you can do the same. So join us there. And of course, while you're at asknick.com, check it out. I do newsletters, and I have forums, and I have a search routine where you can search all the questions and answers and tips and tricks and rants and raves and things that I've done over the years. And it's only $15 a year. I have no idea why you're not a member. That's really where that stands. So join us there, and then come on back and join us at the Soundbites website as well. In the meantime, I believe we will simply go to the phones. Mm-hmm. And our first caller is Mike from Spencerport, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Hi there. We've been using PCs in the home for a while. They're getting tired. We're starting to look at purchasing, upgrading. I see we're going to a different system. We're looking at Apple's versus the PC environment. We just like to, I guess, hear your opinions, one versus the other. I realize we have a loaded question, but just,
if you don't want to start a religious war.
Well, as we always say, it depends.
A million little things. The reality is that neither is better than the other for everything, and certainly a lot depends on what you like and what you're used to. There are people who take to the Macintosh interface instantly, understand it, grok it, as we used to say, and they just get it and they go with it. Mm-hmm. There are other people who struggle with it for a very long time. The same is true of Windows, and it really depends on what you like and what you're used to. It also depends on somewhat on what you want to do. There are some things that are easier to do under Windows, easier to do under the Mac. The bottom line for me is it's Macs/Nix. They both are fine. They both do excellent things. Up until recently, you had less of a chance of getting a virus from a Macintosh machine, although, as we'll see in a later story, Macs are certainly prone to security problems. So you really need to be fairly careful no matter what
you get. And where you're going to get your support, too. That's the other key thing. I mean,
that's what it comes down to.
You know, you can get a Mac or a PC, but then who are you going to rely on for your support? And do they have that particular application that you need to use for that particular platform? Is like Macs, they still kick butt as far as graphics.
And that's one of the hidden benefits of the Mac is the really, really good bundle of software it comes with. You get a really good photo organizer and editor, a really, really good video editor, a really good music editor, and you don't have to have a lot of skills to create music, create video, create slideshows. So a lot of the software that the Mac comes with and is integrated around just makes it really easy to do those home types of stuff where you bring in your photos and your video and make movies and pass them around to your friends. That stuff can be done on Windows. It's just with extra software you add on that isn't necessarily as integrated tightly together as Apple's is.
I have two comments. One is it took me about a year to get used to the Mac interface, but it was a year very well spent. I'm very glad I did. And the other comment is, what other company makes the hardware, the operating system, and a great deal of software and offers you an extended warranty on it that you can always call a 1-800 number and get help almost 24/7.
Yeah, there's very little pass the blame on the Mac side.
Well, you can do it with my shop.
That's
right. Yeah, call Dave, yeah.
I mean, you
know, software too?
We support what we install, yeah.
Yeah. So you call Microsoft with a Windows problem, they say, no, that's a computer problem. So you call Dell, and they say, no, that's a sound card problem. So you call Sound Blaster.
Operating system problem.
Yeah. So, yeah, knowing where to buy it from a local vendor is also a big part of the deal.
Okay.
So the bottom line here, Mike, is
do your homework.
It doesn't. We can't give you a definitive answer, but both are good choices, as is Linux. It just depends on what you're interested in and what you want to take time to learn. There's certainly a certain cool factor to a Mac that you don't have with a PC.
Might consider putting Linux on one of his older machines.
Right.
All
right.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we will have much more of Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, the mighty Alex Vanderweel. Chris, by the way, is now a published author. He has a
thank you
column in Computer Link magazine, a monthly thing on free applications, which, by the way, was excellent this month.
Thank you,
it talks
Dave.
About Audacity.
Now I'm published.
Away.
Next step is to get paid to be published.
Well, yeah, that's a whole other story.
Right.
But you get the kudos now, and the money comes, who knows.
Yep.
I'm Nick Francesco. We're going to take a quick break, back just in a couple of minutes with the greatest computer show in the known universe, and that is Soundbites on 1180. WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And at 22 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. We were just discussing my new little personal private area in Soundbites and how Dee and Lolly and have been decorating it for me, and I most appreciate that from both of them. Before we get back to the phones, we might as well talk about that Mac OS X update. Apple, late last week, issued multiple updates for Mac OS X and Java. They patched 55 bugs, including one for its Safari web browser that prompted a security researcher to blast the company for a half-hearted approach to security. The updates were the largest released by Apple in nearly a year. The year's first bug updates from Apple patched 48 security vulnerabilities in the operating system and its components, four in Apple's implementation of Java, two non-security flaws it admitted had introduced with faulty code in Mac OS X 10.5.6, and one fix it said was a proactive security measure. The majority of the bugs, 32 altogether, were in open source components or software not originally crafted by Apple, as in the case of the Java flaws. But the Safari vulnerability may be the one most people remember. According to Brian Masterbrook, one of the three researchers Apple's credited with reporting the Safari bug, Apple had information about the flaw more than 7 months ago. After 6 months passed without a fix, I decided to post a warning on January 11th, 2009, due to my judgment that this issue could be exploited at any time as long as it remained unfixed, Masterbrook said in an entry to his blog on Thursday after Apple had delivered its updates. Masterbrook had posted some information about the bug, as well as a workaround to temporarily disable the RSS feed feature in the browser in a January 11th warning. This vulnerability does not require intricate knowledge of the processor or operating system to exploit. I discovered it by accident, Masterbrook said, which indicates that this issue could also be discovered by others. These two factors should have indicated to Apple that this vulnerability carried a high risk. He took Apple to task for the way it handles reports of security vulnerabilities and patches to its software. It took 7 months for Apple to patch this latest vulnerability in Safari, despite numerous opportunities for it to be addressed in updates that were already scheduled. OS X users are at this point in the unenviable situation of hoping that Apple starts taking these issues more seriously before phishing exploits, drive-by malware, and viruses become widespread on the platform. And now I have to do... In terms of being fair and balanced and in honor of the fairness doctrine, let me simply take Apple to task as I took Microsoft to task when they did much the same thing with a patch to Internet Explorer. I think it's reprehensible that when you know a vulnerability exists, you know it's dangerous, and you know that it will attack your system in ways that you can't even... It's not one of those, well, they have to download something and click yes. This would just happen on your system, and they don't fix it for 7 months. I'm sorry, Apple, you get to be taken to task just the way Microsoft was. I think that's reprehensible. Thank you. All right, on to the phones. Our next caller, Ray from Walworth, New York. Hi, Ray, what's up?
Hi. First of all, I just want you to know that I'm not a computer expert, which I'm sure everybody tells you. But my issue is that if I create a disk with pictures on it, and then I try to play it, for some reason it won't play. Now, this used to play fine with no issues. Now I put the disk in.
Won't play where?
Well, when I put it in, you know, when I open up the little slot and it...
In your computer?
On my computer, correct.
And this is a CD?
Yeah. If I make, like I do
all
Photoshop
right.
with Roadrunner and I create a little disk, I can make them. But then when I want to play it, or something else, like somebody gave me a picture CD, a Kodak picture CD, and it won't play the CD.
What happens when you try?
Nothing.
What program have you been playing your CDs with in the past?
Well, see, that's my issue. I have no idea. I would put them in, and something would come up, and I guess...
It's probably the Windows Auto Detect. Yeah, that's a security violation that gets turned off. Because a virus or malware could live on a disk, when you put a disk into your computer, same thing happens on the Mac. There's a little program called Auto Run on Windows, and it runs the code that's on the disk automatically without you telling it.
Okay.
Because viruses can attack that way, most the Windows updates are turning that feature off. So you have to manually open the disk and run the program you want yourself
right.
on that disk.
Double, what you do is you open up My Computer, right? You go to the Start button.
Okay.
You click on My Computer.
Right.
Then you see a list of your hard drives, and one of those drives will also be the CD drive that you have that disk in. Double-click on that. It may then start automatically, or it may open up. If it opens up, then just double-click on Auto Run.
Well, when I just put a CD in right now, Windows Media Player came up, and then it's just a blank screen or black screen.
Okay, you have mistakenly told it to use Windows Media Player for whatever those pictures are. Windows Media Player is for music, not pictures.
That's an easy mistake to make.
Yeah.
Happens
okay, if I click on the CD drive F, like in My Computer, it tells me to please insert a disk into drive F. So that obviously is not the right one, correct?
Well, do you have another CD drive?
And do you have a disk in that drive?
There's a Photoshop disk. It says devices with removable storage, and then there's a CD-ROM. Maybe that's what I should be clicking on.
Maybe.
Now, it sounds like something's trying to work, but...
Yeah, so where do you change your file association table in Windows now?
Right-click on any one of those things, and it'll say open with, and you pick the thing you want to open it with, and then say...
And then say apply to all.
Right, but that's only for single files. This is for the auto-run on the CD.
Oh, the auto-run. You don't want it to do anything.
Right, but she's saying when she puts the disk in, it launches in Windows Media Player. She doesn't want that to happen. She wants it to bring up that list of open the photo player, open the music player, open the whatever player. So there's another preference somewhere we're going to have to find. See, normally what you would do is when you open that CD, you're going to see pictures on it. If you right-click on one of those pictures, there's an open with command, and then you can tell it to open with whatever program you want to view the pictures. Then that's whatever program you have in your computer to view those pictures.
Right.
And so Nick and Dave are frantically looking through Windows to see where that auto run setting is.
Yeah. If
you open up My Computer.
Okay.
And right click on that CD drive and select Properties.
Okay.
You get a window that opens up that's got tabs on it.
Mm-hmm.
The second tab is Autoplay.
Yep.
And you have a choice, a drop down choice of different types of files, music files, picture files, whatever.
Yes.
And you can, for each of those, either select an action to perform, which might be play or open or whatever, or prompt me each time to choose an action. Your safest bet is for each of those types to select prompt me each time to choose an action.
Okay, so when I just clicked autoplay, music files came up in the drop down box. But now I'm not going to play a music.
Now listen to me, each of the types in that drop-down box.
So you're telling it what to do when you put a music disc in.
Right.
So pull that menu down.
This is not what's there now, it's the different types. So right now, for music files, you should have selected prompt me each time to choose an action.
Okay.
Or you can tell it to use Windows Media Player for your music.
Or to take no action.
Or to take no action, right.
And then the next thing is you go to the drop-down box, you pick something else, and you give it an action for that. And you do that for each of the things in the drop-down box.
And the specific one that's set wrong for you is for pictures. And it's been
that's where I've got that window open.
It's been accidentally told to open Media Player for pictures. You want to change that to not open Media Player.
So if you open up your C drive, and you go up to Tools, Folder Options, and click on File Type, if you scroll down to, say, JPEGs...
Okay, just say that one more time.
Yeah. No, that's, I'm sorry, Dave. I apologize, but that's really not going to help
her. That's for single files. Nick is doing the one for the whole disk.
What's going to help her is what happens when she puts in a CD.
Yeah, but
what we want to have happen is no action. So what you do is you'd go where I said, which is right-click on the drive and select Properties, go to the Autoplay tab, in the drop-down box, select Pictures,
okay,
and then click on Prompt Me Each Time or scroll down to where it says no action. That's what's safest.
Okay, take no action. Okay, and now just say apply.
Hit click apply, then click OK. Now that means that when she puts in that disc, nothing will happen. So that solves that part of the problem. Right. After you've done that, now you can do what Dave's about to suggest, to put back the correct program to
view your pictures, view the pictures, opening up the media. So if you were to go into, click on my computer, you click on the C drive, and that opens up and you see all your folders.
Yeah.
If you go up to the top and you say Tools, Folder Options,
mm-hmm.
under File Types, it will give you a whole list of different file extensions. You scroll down to where it says JPEGs.
Since that's the most common type that digital cameras take pictures in.
And you would select the JPEG, click on it once. There's a button there that says Change. And now what you would do is select the program that you want your pictures to open up with. And you don't want the media player. You want some other picture viewer.
Okay, now when it says JPEG, do I click New? Or change, or...
Change.
So you're going to change it from Windows Media Player to some photo viewing application that you have.
Okay. It just said choose the program you want to use to open this file.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can pick whatever I want.
Yeah, if you got Picasa. Picasa is a great one.
Or the Windows Picture Viewer, or anything that looks like it says it would open a picture.
So Windows Picture Viewer and Fax Viewer is good?
Yeah, that's good.
There you go.
Okay,
we got to take a break. Thank you, Ray. Thank you very much. We're going to take another break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, the awesome Alex Vanderweel. Awesome Alex, we call her. I'm Nick Francesco. We are Sound Bites, and we will be back. And just if you're on the phone, for heaven's sake, stay on the phone. We'll get right to you. If you're not on the phone, I don't know why you're not. We're having fun. Back in just a couple of minutes with Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And at 38 minutes after the hour, seriously, I'm going to start selling the stuff we say during the commercials. And I think it's worth $50 a week, much less anything else.
One could make that argument.
I am serious about that. All right, before we get back to the phones, Apple has been sued. Two related companies are suing Apple over screen rendering technology used in the iPhone and the iPod Touch. Pixel Technologies, PICSEL, and Pixel Research, both based in Glasgow, Scotland, filed a patent infringement lawsuit Friday in U.S. District Court in Delaware, according to Dow Jones. The suit alleges that Apple is violating a Pixel technology that accelerates the process of updating a device's display. The suit is focused on Pixel technology that people use to zoom and pan documents, sites, and images. Apple's devices wouldn't function as fluidly without the technology, alleges Pixel, which wants compensation for devices already sold. Pixel site says its customers include Motorola, Nokia, NTT Docomo, Palm, Samsung, Sony Ericsson, and Sharp. Apple declined to comment.
What was that Shakespearean quote about lawyers?
That's right. First thing, let's kill all the lawyers.
Thank you.
There you go.
I didn't want to say it. Apparently, we have agreement in the production center.
Exactly. If Alex says it goes. All right, our next caller is Ed from Parenton, New York. Welcome, Ed.
Hi, everybody.
How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How about you guys?
Great. Good.
Hey, I'm very close to making a decision on a netbook, and I'm looking at the Lenovo S10, and I have three questions I'd like to run by the experts, if I could. The first one is that that box comes with NT on it, and I know that...
XP.
XP, and it's going to extended support soon.
Yep.
And I was wondering...
Well, maybe.
I know. I'd like to wait for the Windows 7, but I think that's probably going to be maybe even... 2010 from what I hear. So I wanted to know what you thought about that. And the other questions that I have is about the system specs. You know, it's got a single core processor and 1 gig of memory, and wanted to know what you thought about that in a netbook.
All right.
And then the last question is about what you think about extended warranties, and they have an accidental damage protection plan. I typically don't go for extended warranties, but I'm thinking that sometimes it's not a bad idea, and this might be one of those times. So those are my three questions.
All right. You know what he could do?
What?
Let's go ahead and purchase it.
Yeah.
And that let you try it out for 6 months.
I love this idea, and then I'll be able to tell you. No, I played with one for a week, courtesy of our friends at Bright Computers. I got to play with one for a week. I am deeply and desperately in lust. I am definitely going to buy one, and I'll tell you why. It does run XP when you get it. I'm going to immediately remove that and replace it with Linux. But I have seen it running with Windows 7, so certainly it'll run with Vista. Not on the 512 model. This model had aftermarket RAM added to it to get it up to 2 gig.
Mm-hmm.
And it ran fine. In terms of the specifications, it is a hyper-threaded processor, so and most operating systems will see that as two processors. What we're talking about, for those of you who don't know, and I should backpedal a little bit, the S10e from Lenovo, well, the E or the just the S10 from Lenovo, is one of those 10-inch netbooks. It's a little tiny, really light system. The screen is the 16:9 format, so it's widescreen, but it's 10 inches diagonally, so it's 1024x598 or some odd number like that. It is terrific. It comes with a half a gig of RAM. You can get it with a regular hard drive or one of those SDD drives. SSD drives. SDD, I don't even know what that is.
Either one. They're both
good. SDD drives, I don't know what they are. And they're both good. Either one is fine. You can get it with a 3-cell battery, which lasts 3 or 4 hours, a 6-cell battery, which lasts 6 or 7 hours, or a 9-cell battery, which lasts a lot longer, but then that makes it unwieldy, in my opinion.
Aren't those batteries, other than the 3-cell upgrades that are not from Lenovo, that those are aftermarket products?
I think the 6-cell is also available from Lenovo.
Okay.
Lenovo doesn't make the batteries in any case.
Right. And in terms of day-to-day use, really asking if it's a dual processor, whatever, is kind of silly because you're not going to use it as your main machine.
Right. That's the biggest thing to point out with these netbooks is this is not your main computer, your only computer. This is the really light computer you take on the road when you don't want to carry your big computer.
Like Nick has said before, if it gets lost or damaged, it's not going to be any big thing.
Yeah, but what about if you want to use it for a main computer? It looks to me like it would be a pretty nice main computer for my needs.
If all you're doing is email and you're not surfing graphic-intensive websites, you're not looking at high-definition video, you're not playing Flash games.
It'll do some of that. It'll do Flash. It'll do
but
all of those things.
It's mainly for your surfing, checking your email.
You don't have to make
going
an analogy.
Class or
not,
taking notes.
Yeah, do not fall into the trap of thinking that this is as good as any other computer. It's a lighter duty machine. It's like buying a Yugo and thinking, yeah, well, I can, you know, travel across the country for the next 10 years driving this thing.
If I can make an analogy, this is like carrying the Swiss Army knife with you and leaving your toolbox at home. And there's nothing
good
wrong
analogy.
With the Swiss Army knife.
Right.
They do a lot of work. I've done a lot of work with them myself, and as you can with a netbook, but it's not your whole toolbox.
You know, my basic requirements are that, you know, I use OpenOffice, the different apps within that. You know, I do surf the net, and I do have my own personal videos and pictures and email, and I'm looking to definitely take advantage of wireless connectivity.
Okay, right. But you won't be making movies. You won't be editing those photographs.
Correct.
Okay, as long as you
understand that it's a more modest machine, and you don't get upset with it when you decide to do something it can't.
Although 3 or 4 years ago, this would be a high-end machine.
Yes, it would have been.
So it's like buying a 3 or 4 year old computer. You wouldn't use that as your main computer.
Right.
Right. But you know, I have an old desktop right now that's got basically half the speed of a processor and half the storage. So this would be a nice upgrade for me.
And for $350 or $400 or whatever, it's not a bad price at all. I would definitely suggest you get the extended warranty. This is something you're going to carry around a lot.
And drop.
Extended warranties don't cover dropping. That's accidental use. It doesn't appear to have been dropped. Although, on the other side of that, it's $300 for the computer. If you drop it and break it, you buy a new one.
Well, it's closer to $400.
So you compare that against the cost of the extended warranty.
And the other thing I would suggest about this is that you get one of those. Many companies sell sleeves for it. It's a little case. And some of those cases have a handle or a strap you can put around your wrist. Trust me when I tell you that's a really good idea.
Yeah, they're having a special, by tomorrow, if you still order from Lenovo, you can get a sleeve as well as a second power adapter as an incentive to make the purchase. So
and it comes in pink.
Or red.
Pink or red. Or black or white.
There you go, Steve.
Or blue.
Get your wife a pink one.
Yep.
All right, you answered my questions. Thanks a lot, guys.
There you go. All right, have fun. Yeah, I have to say that I really like the idea of this thing. It's I'm definitely getting it. I may be bringing it to the show. I don't really need... All I'm doing is web here, yeah, and it certainly
like I say,
would be a lot
lighter.
It's
good for taking notes and that type of stuff, but you definitely don't want it as your main computer, as
right.
I've said before.
Right. All right, our next caller is Steve from Farmington, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
I'm trying to get rid of my television provider.
Right.
I don't know who it is, because a lot of the content is online the day after, or sometimes you can actually stream it.
Right.
Now, I have an S cable out on my laptop, and I also have the ability to hook my laptop up. I have a flat screen TV. Which connection should I use to view, instead of using the screen on the laptop, use my flat screen TV? Do I use the cable that you would hook up to a monitor, or do I use the S video out?
Well, it depends on what cables each device has. S video is a very low quality analog source. The VGA connector on most laptops is much better than S-Video. If you have a DVI connection on your laptop and your television, that's better yet. If you have an HDMI connection, that's the best.
Well, on my laptop, I have two choices. And it's an older laptop, about 5 years old, but it works fine. I have either an S-Video out or just a...
Regular VGA.
Right, regular VGA.
VGA is much better than S-Video.
All right, so I can just run a cable from my laptop to my TV.
Assuming the TV has a VGA in, yes, absolutely.
It does. And one of the, you know, when you, it gives you a pop-up menu.
Right.
How you want to look at.
There you go.
VGA, HD. Right.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing that these days for home theaters. A computer and a big screen and,
yep.
instead of a projection or even a satellite or stuff like that.
All right, we're going to take another break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, the awesome Alex Vanderweel. I'm Nick Francesco. It is 48 minutes after the hour. We are the greatest computer show in the known universe. Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dan Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And at 52 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Our next caller is Mike from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Hi, I'm running Internet Explorer 7, and I just started running Firefox, but my question is that when I end my Internet Explorer 7 session, it's still showing up in the Task Manager under the Processes tab.
What's the name of the process you're seeing?
It's the iExplorer.
iExplorer, yeah, because Explorer alone is the Windows desktop.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's not that.
It's probably leaving itself a little stub of a process so it can launch faster.
Yeah, what Microsoft has been telling the United States government for years is that Internet Explorer is an integral part of the operating system, and the operating system cannot run without it. In order to bolster that claim, they do that. They leave a stub running in the background.
And wasn't it the judge's son that was deciding the case wound up uninstalling Internet Explorer, and it worked fine?
Yeah. Yeah. But that's it. And it, you cannot... not run it. You can try ending that process, certainly.
Yeah.
But, and it, as far as I know, it harms nothing.
It'll add another one, though, if I start.
It comes
but
back,
what I was about to say is it'll come back.
Now, on my machine at work, when I shut it off, and I'm still running Internet Explorer 6 there because I have to, it drops right away when I
right.
end
Right. 6
it.
And 7 are two different versions. Mm-hmm. However, to be on the safe side, I would dance the security tango if I were you.
Okay. All right. I know about that.
There have been so many fake programs masquerading as good programs
right.
lately.
Right.
Well, I've started to use Firefox now, too. So.
Well, use it
yeah,
instead.
You'll be a lot safer.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks. Our next caller, Richard, from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Richard. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Question is, I, like others, have tried to switch my TV viewing to my PC.
Yep.
I've been watching Hulu for quite a while. A lot of the programs come in good, but some of them are like watching somebody make a claymation.
Yep, because they stutter.
Yeah. That's a technical term, right?
it is.
Yeah, good. Is it my unit, or because my system can't keep up with it, or is there an adjustment that I can make?
If most of them come in good, then it's not your machine.
It's most likely just congestion on the internet at that time. In fact, if you watch that same one later, it may be better.
Weekday afternoons are the worst where I live anyway.
Are you on cable or DSL?
DSL. I've got the lowest one. The best speed that I've had, and this is an old
thing, but I got, $238.
Yeah, that's pretty minimal.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah, so
that's pretty minimal.
If there's any congestion, it really stutters.
Right. Yeah, it's when you have really
a fast, yeah, if you have a faster service that can handle congestion a little better because it's cached ahead enough.
Right.
Okay. What about if I increase my buffer?
Nope. Okay. It really isn't.
You're just moving the bottleneck.
Right. It's almost never the actual buffer that's the problem in these instances. It's going to be congestion on the network and the fact that you're running at a low rate.
Sometimes what helps is when you open the page for that episode, don't hit play right away. You know, wait 10, 15 minutes and let it download some to your machine before you start. Right.
The problem is, even with a large buffer, unless you wait until that buffer fills, data can't come in fast enough.
Okay.
Right? Because you've got a slower data rate.
Yeah. So I have two problems. One is I'm cheap, and the other one is...
Frugal might be a better word. Oh, you know yourself better than I do. Maybe you're just cheap.
We can't speak for you.
I won't speak for you, Richard. If you're cheap, you're cheap.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, guys. Just as long as, because I've been pulling my hair out for a couple of weeks trying to figure out why it's doing it on some. And
yeah, no, it's not you.
For what it's worth, I have the same trouble with these programs on Hulu in the afternoon, and I have Roadrunner Turbo.
Right.
Oh, okay.
It's congestion.
So, and maybe there may be somewhere, wherever Hulu's servers are, California maybe, some congestion along the way. And sometimes maybe how are they encoded it at the other end? You know, Hulu does Fox and Universal and NBC, so maybe they're contracting with different compression services to make those videos.
More likely, yeah, however, is the fact that since Hulu has started advertising and has gotten more popular...
I love
popular,
that commercial with Ellie
Baldwin. It's a very good commercial.
Yeah.
Because we're aliens, gotten, and that's
because it's
roll.
Gotten more popular, that it's just congested.
It's plugging up, yeah.
There's nothing you can do about that, certainly. The only hope is that they will get better at what they do and buy more servers and maybe separate the load out, you know, get some servers on the East Coast, on the West Coast, and depending on where you call in from, send you to something.
Get some more backbones and stronger backbones.
Yeah.
But
fewer hops is always better.
Okay, yeah.
Out of our control in any case.
Yep.
Well, that's good. That saves me, too, because I was going to go out and buy a bigger monitor. Maybe my monitor was too small.
No, it's not that at all.
Dave, give him your number.
That's right. You do need a new monitor. Call Dave Enright.
Yeah, we got
442-4843. He'll give you a new monitor.
22-inch monitors right now, flat panels in the shop.
All right. Yeah, thank you, Richard. For those of you who are wondering, Hulu.com, HULU.com. You can get a whole bunch of TV shows. Also, Joost.com, J-O-O-S-T.
Yeah, that's CBS and...
between the two of them, most of the
ABC
stuff...
ABC has their own.
Right, and ABC does their own. Yeah. So between the three of them, you get almost everything you could conceivably want.
Miro is bringing stuff in now that they've gone to version 2.0.
Right, Miro, M-I-R-O, is a great product. I run it on my Linux box, download what I want to watch it at my leisure. It's very nice. Or perhaps at my leisure, I don't know. Well, that music in the horrifying grimace on Alex's face tells me that I'm done and I have to get off the air. I want to apologize to all of those of you to whom we did not get. Please call earlier next week. I want to thank all of you who called in. I especially want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, who not only is a published author, but also comes in here every week and not only records the show, but then spends way too much time sweetening it so we sound much, much better on the podcast than we do in real life.
But your donuts are good.
But our donuts are good, and that's what we're paying. And Alex Vanderweel, who does an incredible job every week keeping us on the straight and narrow. I'm Nick Francesco. We are Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.